Now, who has a Bible in their room? Okay, very scanty. This is what I will try to do. I will try to make sure to bring you Bibles. I have to contact some people, and I'll tell them what your need is, and I'm sure that people will give and help you. Okay? I don't make any money personally off of being here, and I want to bring you the gospel. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, okay? We looked yesterday from Ephesians 1. And the thing I want to do today is to look at Ephesians 2, and I want to be very aggressive with the text of Scripture and just preach it with all my heart. I looked at the pictures yesterday, and I saw everyone's eyes were paying attention. I'm very thankful for that. So this is an opportunity for me and for you to show our love by looking into the Word of God together and to see exactly what it says, because that's where salvation comes from. It's from God's Word, and it's only from God's Word. If I come up here and I tell you my dreams and my visions, do not believe me. But if I tell you as to what it says, thus says the Lord in the Scripture, then believe it with all your heart and all of your might. And so Ephesians chapter number 2. Can anybody remember briefly what we talked about yesterday? Can you tell me one thing? What does it mean to be chosen by God? Huh? Nice and loud, please.
To be chosen by God means to accept Christ.
He has chosen us to accept Christ. If I accept Christ, it's because He chose me. But to be chosen is for God to say, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I what? Hated. To be chosen by God is to be Jacob. To be chosen by God is means that everything that He does is for your salvation. Is to bring you to our Lord Jesus Christ and the many other people He's chosen. Even putting you here is the hand of God to bring you the gospel and to show His love. So there's no situation, no circumstance unconquerable by those who have been chosen by God, because He is with us in all things. And it's not because of our works at all. And that's what is going to be stressed here from Ephesians 2, verse number 1 through 10. I'm reading out of the Holman. It speaks of us, all of us who have been chosen, all of us that right now believe His gospel. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. What does it mean to be dead spiritually? It means that I cannot choose God. It means that my free will is corrupted. It means I have a will to do evil, but no will to do good. In order to be saved, God has to give me a new will, a new heart, a new mind. He has to cleanse me. He has to take away my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh to feel and to believe. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world. And be mindful now, he's talking about saved people. So even though he's saying bad things about us, he's just telling us the truth of who we are and who he saves and how great he is. It is not about us being good. It is not about us being better than anybody else is. It's about God being gracious to us particularly. As to why did I decide to come here instead of a president's palace? or the governor's mansion or some other place. You were on my heart. I heard about you when I was in Lagos, and I gave up the things I had to come here to minister unto you the gospel. But in like manner, Almighty God had us on his heart, not because our condition was any worse, not because I'm worthy, but because he is gracious, and he chose to be gracious to us particularly and specially. The chosen children, the chosen people of God are special people, made so by God alone. Okay? He did this himself. Me and you were dead in our sins. And me and you were walking according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of this world that exercises authority over the lower heavens. That's the devil himself. He led us by the nose, as he had a chain upon our neck. He made us his slave. He conquered us in the Garden of Eden when he conquered mankind in the garden, and he made us fall into sin. After that, me and you became sinners. And the Lord Jesus would say that you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. And so to be adopted back into the family of God, as we talked about yesterday, this is a privilege. This is not something that he owes us. This is not something he has to do. I was talking to the students yesterday at the seminary, and some of them are pastors of big churches, and they could not answer a lot of the very, very, very simple questions. And that's the reason I came here. It is not to condemn them. It is to help them learn, what does the Bible say? What's plainly written right in front of your face? But they could not answer that me and you, we do not deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be loved by God. Well, once those angels sinned and became Satan and the demons, do they deserve to be loved by God? No, they don't. All that they deserve is death and condemnation and wrath and judgment. And that's how he and you are by nature. He doesn't save us because we're great, or because we're good, or because we're trying hard. It's because he is good and he's gracious unto whom he pleases. And he will take a person that the world despises and rejects, and he will save that person just to bring himself glory. A person like me and you, I deserve to be in hell. I deserve to be judged by God. But he has obtained my salvation by his blood. And he gave it to me how? By forgiveness, not by merit. I didn't come to God and say, you owe me, I deserve better. I came as a sinner, and he forgave me of my sin, and he accepted me, and he brought me into his family. And it's the greatest family that there ever is. It's a family that shall last forever. It's a family that shall never be broken up or destroyed. It's a kingdom that endures forever, and it will topple down all of the kingdoms. Whether it be Nigeria, it will topple. It be the USA, it will topple. But the kingdom of God will stand. The church will stand. The family of God will stand forever. That spirit, it says in verse 2, that's now at work in the disobedient. The same spirit that was in us is in this world. I can never look at another person in this world and say, ha, I'm not as bad as you. It was an old preacher that was on the street, and he had his friend with him, another pastor. And they're walking and talking. And it was a man drunk that was in the gutter. And the one pastor said, I pity him. He is such a sinner. But the other pastor said, there go I, but for the grace of God. There's not one person in the world that you and I are better than. We just obtained mercy. If a king finds two criminals who tried to kill him, or who had actually killed his son, that's what me and you did at the cross. Away with him. And he decides to have mercy on one criminal of his own will. That criminal can't say to the other criminal, it's because I'm better. I'm more handsome. I'm more beautiful. I'm more strong. I'm more wise. It's just that the king decided of his own will. It wasn't because of us at all. And that's what sets your soul free. That's what makes you love God, is he had mercy on you. I obtained mercy. It was pity. It was the gift of God. Verse number 3. We to all, everyone that's saved, previously lived among them in this world. It could be our accusers. It could be our haters. It could be the people who persecute us. Me and you were just like them in our fleshly desires. There is no person that has done evil to me or you that me and you are not just like. Carrying out the inclinations of our flesh, some towards religion. Some people are naturally moral, upright citizens. I was talking to this one lady that has been in church ever since he was a baby. But it's made her mean. Because she can't see how other people are sinners in need of mercy and forgiveness and kindness. Because she can't see herself. And other people are immoral. They prostitute. They steal. They get drunk. And they tell lies. But both of these people are operating out of the same lust of the flesh. If I say I hate you because I'm better than you, does that make me good?
No.
Not one drop. And if I say I hate you because you hate me, does that make me good?
No.
I'm not saved because I'm good. I'm not saved because I was any different. He didn't have to choose me and you. He didn't have to pick us. I went to another orphanage. It's in a camp. It's a lot bigger. It has more money. It's been well financed. But when I was there, I said, look, I can do more good here. That's to where there's more of a need. But God didn't look at us based upon our need. He looked at us based upon his mercy. He looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and he looked at his own heart of love. And he said, I'll save them. I'll go die for them. I'll redeem them. I'll ransom them with my blood. I'll pay their penalty. And the Spirit said, I'll go fetch them and I'll call them and I'll bring them near. I'll teach them the gospel. And the Father sent his Son and said, go, save them and bring them back unto me as your children, as your beloved ones. And so me and you all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, even as others. Is that what your version says? It's even as others. Can anybody tell me a reason that me and you were saved instead of somebody else? That's because of us. And so hear the question again. Is there any reason that me and you were saved because of ourselves? Who said no? You sure? You gotta be sure. It's not because of us. I was just like everybody else. Jacob and Esau were twins. Ishmael and Isaac had the same father. Israel and Egypt were both sinful nations. The chosen and the non-chosen are the exact same kind of people until God intervenes. And that's what he says in verse number 4, but God. That's how our salvation came. That is the reason. He intervened himself on our side. Who is rich in mercy. That means that he's got plenty of it. He has enough mercy for any sinner who comes to him and says, I want to be chosen by God. He's got mercy on you. Because of his great love, not our great worthiness, that he had for us, us whom he chose, us whom he predestined, us as to whom he adopted, us whom he redeemed, us whom he made special because he would do it. Verse 5 says that he made us alive together with Christ, even while me and you were dead in our trespasses and sins. Let me ask you a couple questions. When the Lord Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, were you included in his death even before you were born? That means your sins were put away if you were. And if you believe the gospel, you were there 2,000 years ago in Christ, and you were dying for your sins in him. But 2,000 years ago, when our Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and then he ascended up on high and he sat down at the right hand of God in the majesty on high. Were you included in his resurrection life and enthronement 2,000 years ago before you were ever born? Yes or no? If you partake in his death for the forgiveness of your sins, you also partake in his resurrection and his life at the right hand of God. Now, that says two things. One, it shows you and me how accepted you are in the sight of God. Your acceptance is not what you do. It's the Lord Jesus Christ up on high. That's where you are. But it says something else, that all of this took place before I was ever born. What this means is I was saved before I was born, but I found out about it through the preaching of the gospel. I was already included in Christ. I was already in the purpose of God to save my soul. And what God does, no man can stop it. And so when he saved and when he resurrected Christ, all the people that Christ died for in a saving way and redeemed, all of God's chosen people, all that he had predestined, were already saved at the right hand of God. And then a man came preaching the gospel, and I found out that my acceptance with God is high in the heavens and unchangeable. I'll never be less accepted by God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's your access unto the throne. That's your forgiveness. That's your access into the spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly places. And you look here now, it had nothing to do with you or me at all. It was all God's grace. It was all God's mercy. It was all God's love. It was all because of Jesus Christ. You are saved by grace. That's the end of verse number 5. What he's emphasizing is you didn't do it, but God did, and he gave it to you. The most unworthy of people is saved forever. Verse number 6, together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and he seated us in the heavens with Christ 2,000 years ago. Verse number 7 is staggering. It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible I've ever seen. So that in the coming ages, he's talking about the bliss of heaven, he might display the immeasurable, the unsearchable, the unfathomable riches of his grace, not our goodness, his grace, through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Did you understand this and what he said? That the eternal God Almighty, who could have sent us to hell and been just, is going to show how good he is for all of eternity by how he treats us with kindness. All because of Jesus Christ our Lord and not ourselves at all. And you listen to me now. That's what heaven is. Heaven is God showing how kind he is by lavishing us with love, enjoyment, pleasure, peace, happiness, good things, joy, satisfaction of soul. Hope is going to be transformed into reality. And I'll never have to hope for anything again. I will always have everything my heart desires at all times. And so God is showing how good he is by how he treats us who deserve to be in hell, all because Jesus Christ endured our hell, obeyed God, and was resurrected from the dead. Just imagine if all of us were not studying on our test. In fact, all of us cheated and deserved to be beaten bad. And it was only one student who studied all year long and got a perfect grade. And that one student was actually beaten for all of our cheating and all of our failure, every one of our stripes. And then because of this one student's perfect grade, all of us got scholarships into the best school and were promised the best jobs. This is what's happened in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us failed and disobeyed. One man obeyed God. And because of that one man, all of us are blessed who believe his gospel forever. And that's what heaven is going to be. It's the greatest thing imaginable. Can you imagine how good God is to send his son to die for you and me who deserve to pay for it ourselves? That's a good God, to give his one and only son is the best God possible. Islam does not have that. That's not in Buddhism. That's not in any other religion where God would come die for the sinner, the transgressor. And then to give us endless paradise? Verse number 8, 9, and 10. For you are saved by grace. Does everybody get that? By grace. By grace. By grace. That's right. Through faith, if you believe, you're saved by grace. That tummy's so big around here. I'm glad to see you youngsters fed. It's by grace through faith. It's just believing. I don't deserve any of it, but it's mine. I take it. I believe it. I enjoy it. I live by its power. And this is not from yourselves. He's emphasizing the same thing over and over. If it's by grace, it's not of me and you at all. It isn't because of our free will. It isn't because of our goodness. It is God's gift. And he gives it to unworthy people only. It's not from works, so that no one could boast. He's emphasizing it over and over because it is so important. It is the most important thing in the Bible. Salvation by grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith alone. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Any gospel, and you hear me clearly on this, that gives us any reason to boast at all. If there's any reason I'm better than other people, if there's any reason I did something that somebody else did not do, if all the glory is not going unto God, it's a false gospel. It's not the gospel of God's grace. What does grace mean? It means that God did everything. And that's what keeps us safe and secure. That's what makes us forgiven. That's what takes away our burden. That it's not because of me and you. It's because of God I'm saved. That's a certainty. That's security. That's a privilege. That's power. That's why he'll never leave you nor forsake you, nor shall any man pluck you out of his hand. It is God's salvation, not man's will. Verse number 10 is my last verse, and I appreciate you guys paying such good attention. Verse number 10. Just keep listening. Keep listening. It's the last verse. For we are his creation, or his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I was created like you, my brothers, in our father Adam, and we fell into sin and decay and depravity. But I've been created anew with you who believe his gospel in Christ, of the last Adam. I'm not in Adam, I'm now in Christ. I'm born again. I'm alive from the dead. He created us in Christ unto good works, which God had prepared or ordained ahead of time so that we should walk in them. And so what he's saying here, as I conclude, is that our good works, what we do by preaching the gospel, what we do by loving others, what we do by sharing Christ with people and encouraging them to believe, what we do by being holy in our conduct and in our character, upright in our walk and our standing with God, is because he had already prepared that me and you would do these things. It was not something that we did to earn salvation or to get saved. It was something that God gave us ahead of time to show that we are saved, and to be helpers of other people. And what I'm saying, in all clarity, our good works does not earn God's grace. It is God's grace that gives us good works. He does not save us because of our good works. But part of the salvation he gives us includes our good works. So just as I'm forgiven, just as I'm alive from the dead, just as I'm at the right hand of God, just as I'll be rewarded for all eternity for what Christ has done according to the grace of God, he's given me and you good works to do right now. And it's to love each other. I'm so happy to see y'all act like a family. Even though you don't have a family, you do have a family. You just have to open your eyes. And if you guys are wise, you'll be family your whole life and you will stay in touch. And you'll be like brothers and sisters and uncles and little nephews. And you'll have a big family of people that love you. But that's also what the church is. I got some friends back home I went to high school with. We're like brothers. I got other guys I played sports with. American for football, all rough and tough, had fun, and we're still friends and extremely close, but the church of God is even closer. As you meet people who see God and believe God exactly like you, and you walk with them, and you worship with them, and you help them, and you help them to help other people to come to know God. That is the gospel of God's grace. Let me ask you one question and I'll quit. How are we saved? Is it by works or is it by grace?
By grace.
How?
By grace.
By grace. That's the message. Let's come pray together, please.
Yeah.